A bunch of well-known Northwest brands like Bamboo Sushi, Sizzle Pie, Water Avenue Coffee, and Rudy's Barbershops were bought up during the pandemic by Sortis Holdings, a company that positioned itself as a savior for businesses that were struggling. But now it's Sortis that's having trouble paying its bills. I'm Elliot Noose, and this is Beat Check with The Oregonian. I'm joined by business reporters Jeff Manning and Matthew Kish, who reported on Sortis Holdings' troubles for The Oregonian. Welcome to Beat Check.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So, Jeff, how did all these Portland brands end up as part of Sortis Holdings?
Well, that is a very good question, and that is sort of what defines Sortis, is the particular kind of companies they went after. They wanted companies that were at the, that somehow contained the essence of what makes Portland special, you know. They were the coolest barbershops, the restaurants, the coffee shops, everything that we associate with Portland, at least pre-fentanyl Portland. And they assembled quite a portfolio. They bought up a lot of, and there were a lot of distressed assets to buy up and invest in. And it's a long list of everything from destination resorts to boutique hotels to restaurants.
And do you have a sense of what they were looking for in these businesses? What kinds of companies they were looking to buy?
Well, you know, we know the general niches that they wanted to be in, which were, you know, food and drink, hospitality, and beauty and health. But they wanted to put their own particular spin on that by investing in companies that were seen as that sort of at the cutting edge. The Ace Hotel, with, you know, sort of its funky decor and, you know, very non-traditional clientele. And that was sort of the classic Sortis target. I think that's obviously, they spent a lot of time on that deal, and Matt knows a lot more about that than I do, but it sort of summed up the Sortis approach.
And what was Sortis's plan for all these businesses?
Buy them cheap and turn them around to make money. But in a way that was cloaked in Portlandia.
So where did things start to go sideways? Matthew, you followed some of the cases that show where things went sideways.
Yeah, I think the key case to consider when it comes to Sortis Holdings and what's happening with the company is its acquisition of the Portland Ace Hotel and its effort to buy the Ace Hotel brand. So they acquired the Portland Ace Hotel in 2021. So again, early in the pandemic, at likely a fire sale price like other assets, but bought it with the idea that at some point people are going to be traveling again, and this is an asset that's going to appreciate in value. Shortly thereafter, Sortis Holdings started conversations with Ace Hotel Brand about buying the entire chain. They announced a deal in January of this year to acquire it for $85 million in cash. Got a lot of attention, even in the national press. Wall Street Journal covered that story, that Sortis Holdings was buying the Ace Hotel Brand, but it quickly soured. So in March, the deal was expected to close. It did not close. Litigation began in April in Delaware of this year about what had led to the failure of the deal. Sortis Holdings claims that the owners of the Ace Hotel brand were siphoning off company assets and devaluing kind of what they wanted to buy. The Ace Hotel's owners say Sortis didn't come up with the $80 million that was required to close the deal. The litigation proceeded throughout the summer. It was resolved in August. What we learned two weeks ago, is that Sortis did eventually get back under contract to buy the brand, Ace Hotel brand, but in October it pulled the plug on it, citing material changes in the Ace business. The whole transaction is really important to understanding Sortis Holdings' plan, because they looked to kind of use it as what they said would be the central platform. So they would use all these ace hotels to promote the various coffee shops and restaurants that they were buying, and kind of through that really lift the value of all the little companies that they'd purchased.
So where do things stand now?
As of now, in mid-September, there were a series of lawsuits brought by business partners of Sortis Holdings. So a former employee filed a lawsuit alleging that she's owed $1.7 million in severance pay. Two landlords have filed lawsuits against Sortis Holdings. A coffee roastery in Northeast Portland claims it's owed $260,000. The Selwood Rudy's location filed an eviction lawsuit against Sortis Holdings. And the person that did the build out on a Sizzle Pie location in Hillsboro filed a $240,000 lawsuit against Sortis Holdings. So really in the last 6 weeks, we've seen a lot of court records that suggest Sortis Holdings is having trouble paying its bills. It has told the Oregonian that it is working to resolve each of these lawsuits. It has said the lawsuit brought by the former executive is now in private mediation, and they hope to reach a prompt and amicable resolution. The eviction lawsuit against the Selwood Rudy's location does seem to have been resolved according to court papers. And Sortis Holdings has told us that the coffee business in Northeast Portland, the roastery location's not viable. It's working to resolve that dispute. And it has told us that the Sizzle Pie in Hillsboro is not viable, and it's looking to terminate that lease. So it's working to resolve each of these disputes.
But in some cases, that means those businesses are not going to be opening or are going to close. At least those individual locations.
That's correct. And they have told us they do expect to close some additional locations through the end of the year, but they've said they have five new leases signed for next year. So Sortis Holdings does say that there is a plan in place to revitalize these brands.
And as for the hotel deal, that's off, and the two companies are essentially going their separate ways.
Correct. And as part of the end of the Ace Hotel deal, there were layoffs at Sortis Holdings. So they said 2% to the Oregonian. They employ about 1,500 people. So that's roughly 30 employees lost their jobs after the hotel deal was terminated. They did tell us that they had expected to hire about 1,000 if the deal went through. So they're readjusting the business plan. And I guess we'll see what happens next.
So, Jeff, is there still room for Sortis to stick the landing on this? And what does it mean for all of these companies that they've, this stable of companies that they bought up, if they can't?
Yeah, I guess there is a chance they could stick the landing. They'll get perfect tens across the board. But I that would surprise a lot of people at this point. There is a... There's a lot of people who pour their heart and souls into their companies that... you know, grabbed hold when Sortis threw them a lifeline, and they are some of them are still there, and they still are very hopeful that it can all work out. And you know, there are some signs of hope. You know, I mean, some of these, you know, relatively minor lawsuits went away, payments were made, but. Others are quite skeptical that will happen. I know that Sizzle Pie and Blue Star Donuts, two fairly well-known local brands, classic sort of Sortis acquisitions, they are, among other things, they were negotiating to get some space in the newly remodeled Portland International Airport. And space in an airport comes at a premium because they're generally really successful. And they're a different animal than a restaurant, you know, a classic brick and mortar restaurant. They're huge traffic, not a huge turnover of customers. So it takes a while to get used to. But once you have it, once you have that locked down, it is pretty... profitable thing. And both those companies and the port are hoping that their plans will go through and they will open new restaurants in the airport. But it's just you know, indicative of the uncertainty out there that no one quite knows.
Right. And as Matthew said earlier, the company sort of said that a big part of their plan was to build all this around a hotel chain that they no longer own. So that suggests there's a need to find a new sort of platform to sort of build all these brands around.
Yeah, another thing I would say that they have going for them, though, is when Sortis purchased a lot of these companies, they were cash and stock deals. So the owners have stayed involved in the company. The founders of a lot of these businesses are still involved. So that would bode well that the people that grew these companies are still involved and can help kind of revitalize them.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you spoke to some of the folks who sold their businesses to Sortis, some of whom remain involved in the company. What are they feeling now? Do they have seller's remorse, or are they glad to have had a lifeline to get them this far?
Well, I certainly didn't talk to all of them. I've just talked to a handful of them, and it's a mixed bag. You know, some are hopeful that it'll work out. Some are furious at the way it's been handled and feel like they've been sold a bill of goods about the financial strength of Sortis and its ability to pull this off. It's a tough situation. And as you start digging into the portfolio of Sortis, or what they sort of put forward as their portfolio, you know, I had said earlier that it was pretty impressive bunch of investments that they've made, some well-known brands, but some of those entities that they list on their website as Sortis Holdings assets, it's a little more complicated than that. For instance, they list the destination resort in the Redmond area in Central Oregon, Thornburg, among their assets. And I talked to the guy in Central Oregon who's been trying to get this approved and built for the last 20 years. And he made it clear that, at least as far as he's concerned, Sortis doesn't own it. Sortis is extended in financing, but he owns it. And then there's the Mayflower Hotel up in Seattle, where Sortis did come in and buy a 50% interest, and promptly the two owners started duking it out, and they're in court now suing one another. And so we shall see where that one goes.
Some of the owners that you talk to or who remain involved in Sortis, you know, they made the point that Portland is a really hard place, that anywhere is a really hard place to operate a business right now, a restaurant in particular. I think you talked to the owner, former owner, and still one of the leaders at Sizzle Pie about that.
Yeah, I did. And it was... it was a heartbreaking conversation, because, you know, these restaurant guys are so passionate about what they do, and they're good, they're solid, and they're in it for all the right reasons. I mean, I know that's a sweeping generalization, but I came away really impressed with the folks I talked to, their passion. And Matt Jacobson at Sizzle Pie, the founder there, he said, it's true that the pandemic is over and everyone's sort of back to normal, but actually not really, because people are still not going out like they used to go out. The deterioration of downtown has been just a huge problem for the nightlife industry, for the hospitality industry in general, and that's not gone away. Inflation, and one interesting thing that he brought up that I hadn't thought about was labor. Labor is a huge problem in the restaurant business. It's just hard to find people willing and who want to work that hard. And he told me once that this was as the pandemic was, as we were emerging from the pandemic, And it was, he was looking forward to a strong weekend. Every single outlet of Sizzle Pie had to be, remain closed that weekend, the whole weekend, because no one showed up to work, or not enough people showed up to work to run the restaurants. That's just sort of a reality of the business these days. It's really, really hard. And that, you can't blame Sortus for that. That's just sort of their world.
So looking back at this story and your reporting, you know, I mean, clearly Portland's reputation has taken a bit of a beating, particularly, you know, in the national press. And here is a company that was really banking on sort of that Portland brand of entrepreneurism and ingenuity and sort of trying to bring it to scale. So what does that say anything? Does this story to you say anything about Portland, or is this a story about a particular company whose business plan didn't work out? Matthew?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. The typical restaurant has a 5% pre-tax profit margin, according to the National Restaurant Association. So these are really difficult businesses to run. And then, as Jeff enumerated, they've been even more difficult to run during a pandemic. In Portland, Oregon. I don't know if this is a story about Portland as much as it is. This plan as of yet hasn't worked, but there's still enormous demand for Portland food and beverage companies. So Dave's Killer Bread is a recent example of a big success story. McCormick & Schmick's went public, as I recall, as a Portland restaurant brand. It's been some time. There are plenty of success stories in the beer industry. So I don't know if this is a story about Portland as much as it is a story about this particular plan has not worked yet as it was intended to work.
Jeff, what do you think?
I actually do think it's a story about Portland to some degree. You know, I think that Portland was so hot for so long, and it became such a strong brand unto itself. Part of the genius of Sortus was that it purported to have figured out how to bottle up the essence of what made this place special, and recognize companies that had that certain something special, and they would recognize them, buy them, invest in them, help them get better and stronger, and in the end, everybody wins. Well, I don't know how much people are really eager to buy into the Portland brand right now. It's taken a shellacking over the last 3 years.
Well, thank you both for your reporting on this story. And I know that your reporting is ongoing. So folks can watch for more stories about Sortus Holdings at oregonlive.com/business. Thank you for listening to Beat Check with the Oregonian. If you like this show, give us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show. Or you can tell a friend. The best way to support our local journalism and reporting like this is with a subscription to the Oregonian and Oregon Live. You can do that at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Until next time.